I want to just give you another advance notice. You know, I like to keep you informed about what's happening here week by week. Next week, we will have our communion service. Now, whenever communion service comes up, there's always two things that I hear from people. I have often heard people say, I won't be at communion. And when I've asked them why, they say, well, I'm not worthy. They'll say, I'm not worthy to go to communion. I don't have everything perfect in my life. But as you will recall, a few weeks ago when I was here the last time, my apologies, but we're still trying to work out all the schedules. We talked about how it's not about how perfect you are, it's about how perfect Jesus is. Can you say amen to that? And when you share in communion and you wash one another's feet and you take the bread and you drink the juice, all of that is a symbol that God has accepted you and you are accepting Him. So of all the times that I might have to miss church, I wouldn't miss communion because I need every time I can to renew my commitment to Jesus. Can you say amen to that? So if you're a person who says, I haven't been to communion because I don't really feel like I'm worthy, then good news. Nobody is worthy enough. We all come because we need Him and because He is worthy. In fact, when we get to heaven, we'll be saying, He is worthy. So I hope you come next week. And it won't be a super long service. And that's the other thing people say, well, you know, church just goes too long when we have communion. No, I don't preach a full-blown sermon when we do communion. And everybody said amen, right? Okay. So it'll be the remarks I have to make will be made during the time that we're taking communion. So just come and experience it and see how God blesses you next Sabbath. And maybe call a friend and say, hey, let's share communion together next week. So that's a heads up about next Sabbath. And I like to let people know well in advance. We try to advertise this so that if you're thinking about inviting a friend, you know that when communion's happening and what we're preaching about and that sort of thing. All right, did you bring your Bible? Always bring your Bible to church because we have nothing to say unless we have the Bible. There really isn't anything worth saying outside of the Bible. So get your Bible out or your pad or your phone or whatever it is that you use. Oh, another thing. I've had people say to me through the years, Pastor, sometimes I text people while you're preaching. Is that okay? Yes, as long as you're saying amen in the process. All right. So, yeah, you can don't feel embarrassed or self-conscious if you want to text somebody in the congregation or somewhere else and say, you know what happened in church today? I understand. We live in 2017. So don't worry about offending me that way. I once caught a lady knitting in the balcony. I was up there on some PA business because the PA was in the balcony in that church. And I just passed by and I just waved as I went by and she kind of put her knitting away, you know, and then I went back, and she realized I had seen her, you know. And so she said, I'm sorry, Pastor. She said, I bring my knitting with me to church because I listen better when my hands are busy. And I said, don't worry. I'm not going to tell anybody. So I'm not the inspector, all right? Somebody else has that job. So as we come together each Sabbath, bring your Bible, though, because we need the Bible. And we're going to study today about this subject of having confidence in God's Word. Having confidence in God's Word. The first time we spoke about confidence, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 4. So take your Bible and turn there to Hebrews chapter 4. And you'll notice verse 16. This is the overall verse for confidence. How does God feel about you? God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what has happened in your life, God loves you. And He wants you to feel like you can just walk right into His presence. He doesn't want there to be anything between you and Him. He wants you to come. And so right here, because we have a high priest in heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, then it says, verse 16, so let us come how? How does your Bible put it? Let us come how? Boldly, confidently, to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. So we talked about how as a Christian, I should be able to have confidence in my relationship with God. Can you say amen to that? Have confidence in my relationship with God and with the people we love. And then the last time I was here, we talked about having confidence about our salvation. So please take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. God doesn't want any of us to doubt our salvation. If we're constantly wondering whether we're going to be in heaven or not, we can't have joy. We can't have peace. And we can't overcome sin either. Because if you're constantly in doubt about your destiny, then that deflates the power of the Holy Spirit in your life on a daily basis so that you end up getting involved and continuing to be involved in chronic sin. Because you don't have that underlying confidence that you will be in heaven, that you are saved in Christ on that day. What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say? It says, "For we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the," what does it say? "It is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Heaven cannot be purchased. It cannot be earned. It is a gift from God. Yes, we don't deserve it, but it is a gift from God. A well-known speaker, I don't recommend everything he talks about, but this little anecdote from his life illustrates the point. His name is Tony Campolo, so now you know why I don't recommend everything he talks about, all right? But he was in a board meeting, and the chairman of the board turned to Tony, and he said, "Dr. Campolo," he said, "would you please have our opening prayer?" And so he began to pray. And as he was praying, and as in part of his prayer, he says, "Even though we are worthless," and at that moment, the chairman of the board said, "Dr. Campolo, please stop your prayer." Can you imagine? You're praying and the chairman of the board says, "Stop praying." So he stops praying and everybody looks up startled and he says, "Dr. Campolo, we are unworthy, but we are not worthless. You may continue your prayer." Good point, right? Because the blood of Jesus paid the price for our sins. Amen for that? So that's what we talked about last time. Now, we want to talk about having confidence in God's Word. You know, I had a young man and his wife come to the door of our church in Albany, Oregon, when I pastored that church. And when they came up, he was holding a book. And when he walked up, he showed the book to me and he said, "I got this book. It was left on my doorstep. And it was The Great Controversy." He said, "Somebody left this book on my doorstep." He said, "I've been reading." He said, "We've read the whole thing." And he said, "It looks like it's published by your church." He says, "Does your church publish this book?" And I said, "Well, not this church in particular, but our denomination publishes The Great Controversy." He said, "Boy, do I have questions for you." And I said, "I imagine you do." He said, "Would you come to our home and talk with us?" I said, "I'd be delighted to. By the way, I'd be delighted to." And so we made the appointment on the given night, and I went to their home. And I took like two steps in the door. When he opened the door, he shut the door. And right there at the door, he said, "Pastor, I have to ask you this question." I said, "Okay." We didn't even sit down yet. He said, "I have to ask you this question right now." I said, "What's the question?" He said, "Well, my wife and I have been reading through the Bible since we started reading Great Controversy. We've been reading through the Bible. And we came to this text, and it said that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "As we read that, we both looked at each other and we said, we got to change some things." And he said, "We smoke." And he said, "Do you think God would like it if we quit smoking?" He's asking me what I think, you know. And so I said, "Well, why do you ask that question?" He says, "Well, when we read that verse, we just really felt convicted that we shouldn't be putting that stuff in our body." He said, "Does that make sense?" I said, "Well, it makes sense to me." And he said, "Well, we would like to quit." He said, "But we don't know what to do." I said, "Oh, I said, I can help you quit smoking." I said, "I've helped lots of people quit smoking." I said, "I grew up with my mom and dad smoking like chimneys." I said, "And they quit smoking." And I said, "I've seen lots of people quit. You can quit." And so he said, "Great." So he said, what do we do? So we sat down. I had come prepared with a Bible study, but God had a different Bible study in mind. And so we talked about the principles of health in the Bible and how to make progress in your life that way. And I gave them the simple outline of what to do on day one and day two and day three. Wrote it all out because I practically had it memorized from doing so many stop smoking clinics. And so I wrote it out day one, day two, day three, gave it to them, called them up every day. And I kid you not, by day three or four, they were completely done with smoking. Completely, forever done. And I thought, wow, that is just amazing. So the next week, I came back, and same thing happened. I took two steps in the door, and he said, I have another question. And I said, what's your question this time? He said, well, you know, after we quit smoking last week, we got to thinking that maybe God would like us to stop drinking alcohol. He said, does that make sense too? And I said, well, there are a few Bible texts on that. So we sat down, and we started reading the Bible about what the Bible says about the consumption of alcohol. And I'm not kidding you, that week, by the power of God, they quit smoking the first week. They quit drinking alcohol the second week. No more alcohol in their life. Isn't that amazing? And then, by this time, I'm thinking, what's coming next week? So, and I don't pry. I don't ask too many questions. They were bringing this up, not me. And so then the next week I come back and he says, Pastor, we have another confession to make. He said, I was a little embarrassed to tell you about this when you first came. He said, we've been really serious drug users. He said, we use a lot of drugs in our life. And he said, it's not the pharmaceutical kind. And he said,